We're now starting book Capital Z Prime, June 21st, 2010, and I know from use of these books are still in my daily work and writing up the work that we did in regard to the kidney, that this is a particularly good book. This Capital Z Prime, beginning June 21st, shortly before my, 2011, 86th birthday. Mm-hmm. So we're still at it. And the book ends on November 9th of 2011. So, typical review of past experiments on page 1, Monday, June 21st. A review of all the enhancement trials. What concentrations of gold had been used in making them, whether hydroxyalamine was used, how much acid there was, whether there was triton there, and whether there was benzyl. Alcohol, benzyl, benzoate mix, etc. Just a summary of everything. And images on the page opposite, page 1. It did in the end work out that the enhancement with hydroxyalamine it's useful for something, so it's not completely lost, this work. And more enhancement trials then on page 3. And more back pressure experiments on page 5, June 24th, day after my birthday. I was working on June 23rd, as it shows on page 3. But I was also flying. Wednesday, June 23rd, 1.5 hours in 8.4 Kilo Sierra, that's the motor glider, OSNR WS day. But experiments were still being done on the same day. So, as I say, back pressure. Continuing June 24th, page 5 and page 4. Just so alternating with more enhancement experiments and back pressure. And catching up with the albumin GFP on Saturday, July 10th, page 11. Jen Wilder has confirmed that the GFP fluorescence in the albumin GFP NAO heterozygote and homozygote, it looked as if although the animals should not have been making albumin, they were making alpha fetoprotein protein perhaps in place of albumin. So that one could still see the protein there. So the conclusion is that after scanning the gel on the fluorescence scanner, the homozygotes show less plasma albumin than wild type and the heterozygotes. When I compare the two gel, making them the same size, the fluorescent band is larger than the endogenous albumin, which of course it should be, because it's got a GFP protein attached to albumin. But the fluorescent there is fluorescence in the plasma. working at how to get the best columns with tween 20, an idea from nanoprobes on page 13, Saturday, July 10th, looking at whether tween 20 would help improve the chromatogram. Not much wrong with them, actually. Quite good calibration run on page 14 with IgG, BSA, ovalbumin and cytochrome C. Calibration between 20. Column works in fractionating and characterizing these different preparations. And for example, the Heinfeld quote 3.76 quote, Friday, July 16th, page 19. Trying to purify them. Conclusion that the Heinfeld 3.76 has a very good distribution and can be assumed, it's proven, to be free from small particles. So that was a good preparation. Recalibrating the column on page 22. To be compared with a calibration on page 14, where on page 14 the immunoglobulin BSA over albumin cytochrome C were 25, 28, 27, 32, 39, and here the 26, 30, 33, and 40. So the column had changed a little. Which is always a problem with columns, that they get compressed or have to be cleaned because of contamination at the top. Looking at Heinfeld 4.5 quote, refractionation Monday, July 19th, page 25. With page 27, Wednesday, July 21st, consider returning to sodium boron hydride dithiothreatol GSH particles. The general conclusion of the experiments in the earlier book, W prime, is that cold DTT gives the best size distribution and can be exchanged to glutathione GSH with variable stability. This is the beginning of characterizing the sodium boron not only characterizing but adopting the glutathione, the sodium boron hydride reduction method with different concentrations of dithiothreatol and exchanging with glutathione to make our particles, which later became our standard. So this is beginning to realize that I wasn't going to be using commercially available particles. I wanted to make our own particles, even though that involved quite a lot of work. So that's page 27, and opposite it on page 26 are some experiments of which is a dithiothreatol to GSH, converting a particle that was made with DTT to be a particle now coated with glutathione. Beginning to learn how to do this. And that type of experiment is continued On the following page, 29, Wednesday, July 21st, code DG to GSH continued. Things which of course later on we solved, but were beginning to become apparent as a problem, that on page 29, July 21st, Wednesday, overnight reaction, the Z prime 29 earlier material, DTT to glutathione, when left overnight, had agglutinated, so needed to test cold DGT, etc., plus or minus glutathione at a higher pH. And going back a long way to V prime 159 lipoic acid DTT experiment of using lipoic acid and DTT, which we didn't, in fact, follow up much. There's a particles that have been made with Z prime 31, a cold DGT to GSH, and enhanced with silver on page 30, opposite Thursday, July 22nd. Mike's experiment showing rather nicely the enhancement of the particles in the plasma and a few particles in the basement membrane with this size of material. Z prime 31 called DTT image, quite a step forward at that point. And on page 31 it says Mike concentrated unpooled blue and black fractions 35 and 36 and injected in a mouse, and that is the result on page 30. Still haven't worked out exactly how to control things, so here is a size change attempt with cold DT on Friday, July 23rd, page 33. A good entry, a beautiful product, fraction 35 and symmetrical. Would make a good seed because it's quite small, fraction 35. So thinking about using it as a seed. So Saturday, July 24th, page 35, cold DT re-amplified. So it's using the seed experiment. Page 34 says the seed experiment, the size did not change in that way of doing it. Quite a helpful type of image on page 37, Monday, July 26th, or actually it's the bottom of the page, it's Tuesday, July 27th, running a gel, an agarose gel of DTT plus GSH, where the particles have now are charged and running beautifully in the gel. But if just put on the gel without being treated with GSH, they don't get into the gel and they stay at the origin. The obvious, the conclusion is excellent DTT to GSH. and I try to go partially to HSPEG, thinking about putting a polyethylene glycol coat on the particles. Tuesday, July 27th. And here on page 39 is actually the beginning of a very important, or whether it's important I don't know, but a very striking observation that not really recognized at this stage. But it's Wednesday, July 28th, is an experiment of 2 times DTT being changed to, or being replaced by glutathione. But there on the opposite side of the page, in other words, page 38, is a screenshot of an image taken by Mike of what had happened with the Z prime when this Z prime 39 2 times DTT material was injected into a mouse. Let me restart that a little bit. This is Wednesday, July 28th, and it's continuing the experiment to make the particles, which are twice the concentration of DTT, going to GSH. And there is the recipe for making the particles. And at the bottom of that page, it says that after adding 2 times serum for injection by Friday, July 30th at room temperature, this is precipitated, but the material had been used by making it 1 times concentration in serum, and the particles were the 2 times DTT going to GSH. And on page 38 is this image, which is looking back now, is a very significant image from our understanding, because it shows that the particles have got through the basement membrane and are now lined up on the bases of the foot processor, of the podocyte foot processor, as a line of particles. It looks like a line. In fact, it turned out to be a layer of particles binding to the podocyte foot processor. Still of interest now, 5-6 years later. So that's a striking image, but not fully appreciated yet. Pairing the procedure on the following pages and checking them on gels and columns. And thinking about the reaction mechanism on page 45, Saturday, July 31st, what might be happening when DTT is added. And so we're wondering about the order of adding chemicals. Try changing the order, and it becomes a persistent, not problem so much as a persistent area of investigation of the what happens when you add this first versus that first, or the reverse. So this is what we'll see again repeatedly, an experiment on order. Try changing the order. And so Z prime 45 order is the name of the particle it made. And doing all this work with Malcolm, with Mike Altenberg as my postdoc. And gel on page 46, fairly informative, but not much comment on it. The fraction 30-31 migrates very nicely, which is has glutathione modified, and then the order experiment where there's some material that had migrates well, and some that stays at the origin. More experiments varying the concentration of DDT and the overall concentration. Floundering around a little bit in this stage. More alkaline 2.5 times DDT cold Tuesday, August 3rd, page 53. There are so many variables that one sometimes gets lost in the detail. Tuesday, August 10th, page 55, a little comment of back from Missoula and Taos, experiment with GB George Bandow, and I'm recording this on Tuesday, December, what are we, December 5th today?
January 5th, 2016.
Yeah, we're recording this January 5th, and here's a message, a note of flying with George Van Dyne, who was talking to him this morning on the telephone about another trip together and other matters. So here, back from Missoula Towers, Missoula, with George Bandow in the 182 November 5-1 FR. Mostly on top of the overcast as VFR on top. He and I had a good time on that trip. But experiments are continuing when I get back. Thinking about charge change on Wednesday, August 11th, page 57. With a comment on page 56 on the results that neither sustain alone or sustain plus glutathione mix are stable. That's that the products are not yet stable. I'm thinking about using a better buffer than the rather indeterminate buffer that I've been using up to that point. That's to say, a procedure where the pH was not being very accurately controlled, so small size tests Friday, August 13th, page 61, using a borate buffer. So that's a good buffer used in the old slash gel days. A good strong buffer, a pH with a pK of about 9.3. I made a buffer with one mole of boric acid half neutralized with sodium hydroxide as the Z' 61 one mole of boric buffer, pH 9.7. It shouldn't quite have been that pH, which is not far long. Watching colour changes and not understanding them yet. This is August 13th, and a little note that November 2011, later on in, or no, the next year, 2011, now I know that this is a gold, the colour changes are partly because gold chloride is changed to gold hydroxide. Au-Cl, Au-OH. Not understanding them yet, though. Because of these particles being unstable, it was rather important to try to make them smaller. And Monday, August 16th, page 65, is an attempt to do that. Smaller particles with a comment that Z' 63 DTT BA is stable and was good on the column, but Z' 60 1 times DTT sodium borate is also stable. So concentrate them and make a preparation from those. And it wasn't a bad preparation, as is shown on page 64, but there is quite a bit of aggregated material. Return to the old method on page 69, 1 times cold DTT, Tuesday, August 17th. But with a conclusion that the Z' with a column also, that Z' 53 fraction 46, 47, so quite small material, is stable and good. But this is looking at 1 times cold DTT, which on the column is on page 68, eluted from the column someplace about where albumin would be, so that that type of material could be used as a substitute for something a little bit smaller than albumin, which is the type of material that I was hoping to get. Trying to understand what's going on. Wednesday, August 18th, page 71, a literature set, which I couldn't repeat, identified the reduction of gold chloride by sodium boron hydride was proportional to the hydrogen ion concentration and the concentration of BH4 minus, that the reduction involves molecular hydrogen. And my addition of hydrochloric acid and the gassing that occurs when you added hydrochloric acid to the mixture suggests that this may be correct, because I don't know whether I'd pointed this out earlier, but when I added HCl to the reaction following Heinfeld's patented method, that it always produces a gas around the HCl droplet. Trying different methods on Thursday, August 19th, page 73, with a conclusion, go back to Z' 71, 1 times cold DT2 concentrate without glutathione, but between 20, etc., etc. Run a column immediately. So, just struggling up, getting everything stable. Trying to concentrate material, page 75, and on the opposite side, the conclusion that they need to use something different to prevent aggregation and give osmotic pressure and restrict GBM binding, etc., etc. Some ideas would be bovine serum albumin, heparin, glutathione. So I'm thinking here about heparin, that to my knowledge is the first mention of heparin that I've noticed anyway, which became a standard later. Friday, August 20th. page 77, some Saturday morning experiments on Friday and Sunday, because on Saturday morning I used to say, always you could do experiments that were a little crazy. So the idea was to test whether molecular hydrogen would make a difference. So a generator of hydrogen was on the left hand side connected to reaction mix on the right hand side, so a gas generator making hydrogen and a reactor to see if the mixture would be anything would happen with molecular hydrogen. I didn't have a bottle of compressed hydrogen, so this is a way to try to do it, but as one might imagine, it was a little crazy. So about two-thirds or three-quarters down page 77 is the think some more and test more carefully ordered a lecture bottle of hydrogen rather than the crazy reactor, generator reactor method. Trying to get material now suitable for injection. So Saturday, August 21st, page 79. GSH for column prior to the mouse test. Quite a nice column and result on page 78, but no particular comment on it. just concentrated the two milliliters of Z prime 79 four times DGT to 100 microliters, and then centrifuged it and put it onto a column. So now, using some of this material with and without the serum, Wednesday, August 25th, page 81. And Mike set up an injection, a mix, and etc., and tested it on the column. To try to get good material. A little interlude, Friday 27th, page 83, a PCR reaction for Nubuia. Error, the wrong gel, and so run with Nubuia's gel, and the system is okay. It's the samples that are wrong. On page 82. Typical of what happens in these preparations, that the Z prime 79 four times DTT material, the vial is now gold plated on the inside, so that it's unstable and precipitating, well, or forming a film on the side of the vial. Monday, August 30th, page 87, an attempt to see if serum alters the spectrum or of the material with and without serum with the spectrophotometry, a trace on page 86, conclusion that the visual peak in the blue and the purple show no change with serum, but the spectrum confirms absorption at 700 nanometers and a broad peak of about 560 nanometers. But the important conclusion is that there's no change with serum. It doesn't alter the particles. There not being not no sign of interaction with serum. I'm beginning to find that smaller particles can be dissolved by glutathione on page 93, Thursday, September 2nd, on the opposite side, page 92, warning that the sample, which was called LM superscript 3 with GSH, was compared for gassing with buffers without GSH, but by Friday morning the GSH one is completely colourless, and so GSH etches as already known from column cleaning. What this is talking about is the fact that I would clean my columns by running down a relatively high concentration of glutathione, which would dissolve the particles that had agglutinated at the top of the column. This is a warning that one has to be careful about how long the sodium boron hydride particles are exposed to glutathione, otherwise they will be dissolved if they're small. Friday, September 23rd, September 3rd, page 95, a reminder that 61 years ago World War II broke out at 11 a.m, which I remember very well as a child, well, as a young teenager, 14 years old. Sunday morning. Here is quite clear statement under that heading, page 95, beware of too long in glutathione. Continuing with this general, trying to nail down a standard procedure. Wednesday, September 8th, page 105, one times cold DTT, a repeat of an earlier experiment from Z' 71, and on the left, the page 104, the commenter, cold DTT. This size is as wanted, and with the 2.5 times TTC, this size is still small, almost the same as 1x. Many experiments to try to nail down a procedure. Wednesday, September 15, page 117, smaller particles, attempt to remake smaller particles, prepare, etc., etc., whatever to do. no particular cheering in the result. Some indication that the particles might continue to grow under some circumstances. Maturation of smaller particles in 40 millimolar GSH on page 117. And continued on the following page, 119. And so on, varying this and that and the other. With an occasional look in a gel, a PBS gel or something like that. It's not actually a PBF shell, but an agarose shell with 1x TAE buffer tris. EGTA, I don't remember what A is, TAE buffer. TAE buffer is tris acetate EGTA buffer. Looking at what the particles look like and whether they're stable on page 129, Saturday, September 25th, that a general conclusion that 40 millimolar GSH, that is okay for a brief time, 10 millimolar is okay for longer, and the small particles are difficult. In other words, you have to be careful with GSH. You need it, but you got to be careful with it. Some comments on apparent changes of size look to be due to incomplete derivatization. Tuesday, September 28th, page 138. Back to lipoic acid on the following page. A digression into something which never ended up as being very useful. Having trouble with material obtained from nanoprobes, the nanoparticles amino gold, recent batches wouldn't dissolve in the usual solvent. On page 137, Saturday, October 7th, 2nd. Looking in the EM on grids, some rather encouraging results. Plus or minus glutathione for the electron microscope. Tuesday, October 5th, page 139. Looking at the grids and not any obvious difference in clumping with the particular solutions that we used. But the size distribution is very good, and the particles can touch, but they, meaning that there isn't a very thick coat between them. Got some larger particles from nanoprobes, 2.8 nanometers, Friday, October 8th, page 145, running gels on these particles. Running, right, not gels, running columns on these particles. Have a chance now to look at some animals that had been made with the nephrin 714 experiment deletion in Dukedale. Is not yet correct. That's still considering making the material. The Tuesday, October 19th, on the same page, which was a preparation of a pooled concentrate and a material made on that page, 2.5x conch, etc. And this material had been used in an animal experiment with Mike. Z prime 112 material showing the binding to the foot processes quite clearly, and the accumulation of material at the slit diaphragm that appeared to be agglutinated that later became something of interest. The images on page 148 turned out to be more interesting than the comments made at that time. So they were showing the binding to the foot process and the formation of aggregates that could actually be blocked by the slit diaphragm. So page 148 images are really quite more important than any comment made on them at the time. I'll just stop it, Jenny, for a moment. And as this book is drawing to a close, we start to see more images from the electron micrographs of different particles. Enhanced and not enhanced. With a very clear enhancement on, of the particles bound to the podocytes. Not yet fully appreciated. Unenhanced, but with heparin now. I'm beginning to think about trying heparin, although not particularly commented on. But on page 155, Thursday, November 4th, at the bottom of the page is a comment which turned out to be very important in understanding what was going on. Mike will concentrate fraction 37, which had been made from a previous mixture, and try it with a new fixation technique. Which we had found in reading the literature from Marilyn Farquhar and others, who inject osmic acid underneath the cortex of the kidney in order to not to lose all the plasma from the glomerular capillaries. Which I now interpret that loss as due to the constriction of the afferent and efferent arterioles and mesangial cells that occurs before fixation has really taken place, that leads to trapping of red cells in the glomerulus and expulsion of the plasma, which was a big problem and never fully overcome. But here is a beginning also of experiments with heparin on Thursday, November 155, and November 3rd, page 155, 154, experiments with fraction 32 with 50 units of heparin. And the binding is still there, but it much reduced. And then, so Z prime 153, fraction 33, 36 with 15 international units of heparin, binding still present. Looking at animals injected with fluorescent dyes now again on page 159, Friday, November 5th, albumin, GFP, and RFP, red fluorescent protein dimer, ov albumin and secreted CFP. The heterozygotes for each were sacrificed and examined with whole mount methods, that's to say without fixation, just looking immediately, and only the GFP showed anything above the control wild type. So these were not looking very happy experiments. It had taken a lot of work to get albumin promoter driving GFP. And with the comment that the albumin GFP shows plasma but no vesicles in the brush border cell, so the level is probably very low. But perhaps unusual presence of strong fluorescence in the peritubular space. Although I write a nice image of immunoglobulin labelled with Psi-5, where after 15 minutes it's clear that the particles, immunoglobulin has reached the vesicles in the proximal tubules. So BSA in 2 minutes is very heavily labelled. IgG in 15 minutes is not so heavily labelled, but labelled, so that the larger proteins can get through the glomerulus. It's a useful result, this, on page 158, and it's going to be used in publication. The book ends with a very beautiful image on page 162, opposite Tuesday, November 9th, 163. The recent tests with drip fixation have been disappointing. And then going back to what was said earlier, but review of the literature with Mike showed a paper by Marilyn Farquhar and George Pallardi back in 1961, in which they'd used ferritin, and the previous paper by Farquhar et al., that in order to prevent loss of the vascular contents with their ferritin marker, 1 to 2 milliliters of the fixative osmic acid was introduced through a fine hypodermic needle into the superficial renal cortex when the renal pedicle was clamped. within seconds after beginning the injection, etc., etc. Mike tried this with fraction 37 Z prime 153, and it works. But binding is still present. So this image on page 162 is one of the very enjoyable images that was obtained in this book, with beautiful binding on the basis of the foot processor, obtained with the osmic acid subcapsule, and one without heparin and one with heparin. The 400, no, 100 units of heparin. Not clearly interpreted at that point, but the image on page 162 is a very happy image to end this book on.